A Heartland Community College student witnessed firsthand the chaos that ensued during the Iowa caucuses when malfunctions from an app delayed results in the Democratic presidential race for more than a day. Eric House is a 25-year-old journalism student from Normal. He tells Eric Stock he decided on a whim Monday to drive to Iowa City to see the political process play out in a high school auditorium. And saw just how messy democracy can be.
Mostly for the spectacle. You hear about this every single year. I've been interested in politics since 2008, and I first got to vote in 2012. But I always heard about Iowa as this very amorphous thing that we don't take part in, but we're super close to. It's the talk of the nation for a week, and then you don't hear about it for 4 years. And so I said, this year, I had the day off. It's a really, really open field. I want to see what's going to happen. So I took my butt out and went to go see how it all actually works.
Or in this case, doesn't work.
Well, yeah.
So when did you and everyone else there come to the realization that there was a problem with the votes being submitted?
For Precinct 01, there really wasn't, actually. Everything went relatively smoothly. I spoke to the chair of the whole system, and she ended up telling me that things went relatively smoothly. There were no undecided votes for 01. Groups got divvied up correctly, and you know that's all in the minutia of what's actually involved in their process. So 01 in Iowa City went relatively well. 17, however, did not go so smoothly.
And 17 is Iowa City.
Yes. So this is a little bit bigger, held in the same building, City High in Iowa City. And they started an hour late, had over 1,000 people in line, and by time 01 finished, I actually had time to go and catch up on the entirety of 17 in the next room over, because they were in the middle of trying to sort out after the first alignment. They couldn't figure out how many people they had for which groups, who was dividing up, who was moving else. People started leaving. So
out of frustration?
Pretty much, yeah. And the thing is, those paper slips aren't supposed to leave with them. So when they walk in, they're handed slips. You say, this is your first preference. You hand this in to whoever is in charge, your precinct captain for whatever candidate you're following. You hand that in. You don't become viable. You got to use a second sheet to declare your second preference for second alignment. And then all of a sudden, you've got people scrambling, horse trading, trying to bring people over to their side, trying to create these alliances all of a sudden. And this entire school auditorium just falls apart with different conversations of people who are friends and family who have known each other for years. And they're all in different colors, and they're all wearing different pins, and they're all just yelling at each other about, no, come to my side. We'll make it. You won't. And all of a sudden, it becomes a little hectic.
And this is really just part of the natural process of a caucus.
Apparently so. Apparently, this is what they do every single time. It is much more like a town hall than it is like a closed ballot vote.
From what we had heard, the voting app that they were using for the first time wasn't working. Some had claimed operator error. This app was new to everyone. Others had said there was a problem with cellular coverage in some areas that kept their vote tabulations from going through. It was later explained as a coding error or a coding problem with the app that they said that was resolved. From what you saw or were able to gather from your conversations with some of the party officials, what was your sense for what they thought the problem was?
A couple of things. Definitely the user error fits in a really interesting place because everyone I spoke to who was actually in a position of power was relatively older. Definitely senior citizens in charge of running this whole thing. I had spoke to a lot of them. They said they've been doing this for decades. Some of them, they've been around since caucuses all the way back in the 90s. So the technological mastery may not have been there for everyone. I get that part. It's an iPhone app, whatever. The other part was that when they went to actually report stuff, nothing was going through. This is the same app they were using for all their calculations as well. Essentially, they were supposed to just punch the numbers in that they had at a given time, like, hey, our total is 650. This group has 112. Are they viable? If so, how many delegates did they get? And they were supposed to do all the math for them. At one point, the chair, Nancy Porter, for Precinct 01, went up to a whiteboard in the cafeteria and just wrote a big mathematical equation for everyone to do on their own if they wanted to, just to make sure we were all kosher as far as that's considered. And it was really, really fascinating to watch an entire room whip out their phones and double-check their math for all their delegates.
So when you left that night, when did you leave, by the way?
I left 01 when they wrapped up around, would have been just about 9 o'clock, 9:30 at the latest. They were choosing their delegates. They were setting up committees because they send all these people into another meeting in March. And then I went to go check on 17, and they were there until 10:30 at least. And at a certain point, once the delegates were called, all the bystanders and extra people left, but I have no idea how late they were there. I left the parking lot at City High at 11, and there was still nothing reported.
Of course, everybody left with no idea what was going on.
Exactly.
So what was the sense at that point that we were not going to know until sometime Tuesday or maybe even later before there would be any sort of results?
That was definitely the going mood because, I mean, all the chair people and all the people that were helped volunteering were so burned out by that point. I understand they wanted to go home and figure this out later. But coupled with that, I was like, well, why aren't we seeing more results? You know, I myself personally tweeted out two sets of confirmed delegates and second alignments. And I figured, well, someone somewhere has to be, you know, combining all this data into some sort of idea. And then a couple hours later, closer to midnight, we get Bernie Sanders' campaign putting out what are their reported numbers. You know, so I don't know what we were expecting, but as far as getting information out to the people, the IDP dropped the ball there for sure.
As we continue on Sound Ideas, I'm Eric Stock with Eric House, who is a broadcast journalism student at Heartland Community College, who was in person at the Iowa caucuses in Iowa City, where there was a voting debacle because of a problem with the voting app and perhaps some other dimensions to this. So you would allude to the fact that a lot of the precinct committee members, their comfort level with using this sort of technology might have been an obstacle to this working more smoothly. Do you think that this will be a setback for more forms of electronic voting, you know, where we will be able to vote on our phones at some point?
Yes and no. Firstly, Iowa is reporting three sets of numbers, and they were supposed to report each set of numbers as they came in.
Which, to clarify, was because of the increase in transparency after 2016, because the Bernie Sanders camp had claimed that this was not a transparent process.
Right. And so that first alignment number is you take the room, you take all the heads, you say, okay, everyone's here. Who's got what? If a candidate doesn't reach 15%, then they are considered not viable, and then the people in their camp need to either readjust, gain more people from other camps, or whatever sort of swinging around they have to do to either become viable or figure out another option. That second set of numbers is then reported, although it really isn't super important to report that because that number is then put through a mathematical equation, which is then equated to the delegates that that precinct is allowed to order. So those three numbers being reported is really important. I think I saw this morning that there's a little bit of discrepancy between the delegate numbers and the popular vote, as we're seeing right now, but that could always change. No new news there. Popular vote and electoral votes don't match up.
So do you think that this will be a setback for attempts to make voting more digital, more electronic in the future, more mobile in the future, be it in Iowa or anywhere?
I would love to see it done more successfully and more consistently, but they are not making a great case for it right now. And maybe that's because it was slapped together so quickly, or maybe because there just wasn't the amount of testing put in or the amount of training put in. I don't know, but if other campaigns that are caucuses and primaries that are much, much bigger than Iowa can't handle this stuff, it's going to be a mess.
Now, Iowans do take their first-in-the-nation primary status very seriously, though it is not a primary. It's a caucus for them. Every 4 years, some postulate there are other ways to do this, especially given Iowa's relatively small size, as you alluded to, the lack of diversity. Iowa certainly won't let go of its kingmaker status easily, but after this issue, would you expect to see discussion about another state coming forward? Illinois has put its foot forward as wanting to be first in the nation come 2024. Does this accelerate those discussions?
It certainly does. Unfortunately, this is just going to look bad for Democrats, all things considered, because apparently the Republican caucus went off without a hitch, really. I mean, it was overwhelmingly Trump, but at the same time, they didn't really have any complaints because they weren't being pulled in five different directions. You know,
and so, they do their process differently.
Yeah, a little bit, yes. But as far as, like, say, Illinois taking over, I really don't know. I think everyone would like to be the first in the race, of course. I think everyone would like to be the trendsetter and, you know, pick the momentum up for the rest of whatever the spring's going to hold for everyone. But I also think that Iowa is symbolic of something. I'm not sure what, probably just because it's the heartland of America. Even if you're right, it is very small and not very diverse, especially what I saw in those rooms. But also, they still do things pretty antiquatedly, you know? I mean, they're gonna have a county meeting in March with all those delegates. and then they're going to meet again after they set up their county meeting in June. So the reason they start so early is because of this really long tail they have on this really old-fashioned way of going about picking who is going to be the candidate.
How much do you think nostalgia will drive the discussion that, well, it's always been Iowa as far as we know, and it should always continue to be Iowa?
Oh, it's going to be the driving force, for sure, because, I mean, we saw how much technological and futuristic change took, you know, forefront in this caucus, and it reared its ugly head. No one's going to like that. Everyone's going to go back to the way they want to do it. They're going to do paper ballots. They're going to try and be less open about all the information because it ran smoother that way.
As we continue on Sound Ideas with Eric House, a student at Heartland Community College who was on scene in Iowa during the debacle, during the caucuses on Monday. So what did you learn from this experience as a broadcast journalist and as a concerned citizen?
Well, as a broadcast journalist, this is one of my first real times out in the field, especially outside of Illinois, and it's pretty fascinating, all things considered. People are willing to talk to you, especially in Iowa. They're nice. They're Midwestern nice. They have no problem with that. But at the same time, it's like this cycle is going to be a doozy. It really is, you know. I mean, last time around, if you were a Democrat, you were picking between one and two, and you either really liked one and really liked two and didn't like the other. But as far as, you know, covering this thing goes, it's going to be a lot of inter-party debate, which is going to be really, really loud and a little vicious. And yet, at the end of the day, everyone said the same thing to me. Never Trump. Never Trump. Over and over and over again. And I was like, so you all can't stand each other, but at the end of the day, you want to have this unifying idea.
That is Heartland Community College student Eric House with Eric Stock. Governor J.B. Pritzker has said he believes Illinois is diverse enough that it should be the first primary state. Illinois holds its primary March 17th after half of the country will have cast primary ballots.